We all want to be happier, but how do we get there? First, we start by realizing happiness is not a destination. Being happy consists of micro action steps every single day. I'm your host, Brittany King, and I'm here to guide you along the way. Hello, my beautiful friend, and welcome back to the Positively Real podcast. I'm your host and coach, Brittany King, and I got a different episode for you today. So I'm trying a new format once a month, and I want your feedback. I want to know if you like it or not, and I want honest feedback. Seriously, I thrive off of feedback. It will not hurt my feelings. I've had someone call me a moron before about my podcast, so trust me, nothing can hurt me. But anyway, I made a commitment to reading one book a month. And if it's a personal development book, I want to share it with you for two reasons. One, it might inspire you to read it. Two, maybe you don't need to read it and you can just apply the lessons. Okay, I guess it's three. And three, doing this helps me integrate the lessons from the book into my life. I am notorious for starting things and not finishing them, books being one of them. You might relate to this. I love getting started, but sometimes I get close to the end of the book and I just go to the end of the book to see how it ends. And it is ridiculous. I'm not judging myself. It's just a little funny bugaboo and I'm working on it. And that's why I'm going to be doing this. I think it's really a powerful way for me to embody the word integration, because that's my word of 2024. And application and integration feel a little different to me. Application is like applying it to your life. Integration is taking it a step further. It's how do you integrate it into your daily life so it becomes an embodiment, just becomes a part of who you are. And the books that I'm reading teach you these lessons. And now if I read a book and I don't love it, I'm probably not going to share it with you. But if I love it and I think you'll find value in my reflection, I'm going to share it with you. So today we are going to talk about what I learned from the Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. If you don't know Michael Singer, he's a phenomenal spiritual teacher, and he wrote the book, The Untethered Soul. I read that about 6 or 7 years ago, and he's the first teacher that really did a good job of explaining what the voice inside our head is. And he teaches us that the voice inside our head is not who you are. You are the witness. You are the observer. You cannot be the voice because you are the one listening to the voice. You can't be the voice because you're the one who can hear it. So he talks about that in The Untethered Soul. And what's crazy about The Untethered Soul is he wrote that book during a legal battle with the government. Like, he got wrongfully accused. It's insane. I'm not going to tell you all the details because you just have to read the book to get all the deets. But it's pretty wild that he wrote that book during one of the probably biggest challenges of his life. And it's a testament to what it means to surrender. So The Surrender Experiment is essentially, it's a memoir, but I also think it is a way to show and express what it means to let go of personal preference and surrender to the flow of life. His journey is so inspirational, and it just offers valuable insight after valuable insight into the practice of surrender as a path to inner peace and fulfillment. And I just loved this book. It took me a while to read it. I've always known about it, but one of my teachers recently brought it up again. And I was like, you know what? I think it's time to read this book. And so the premise of the book is living life by surrendering to the flow of life events. That's the key. And it resonates with me because I do think a lot of my life has kind of been like that without really me realizing it. I never had a plan for my career. I never had a plan for my relationships. All I wanted to do, quite honestly, was to be loved. That's the only plan that I had. And so much of my life has just been opportunities that come up and me just going with the flow. And I think that's what's led me here to this podcast and to coaching. Like, I never had a plan. I had a plan to be a school teacher, but I honestly just chose that because I loved kids. It wasn't that I had any desire to be a teacher, but the funny thing is I am a teacher. And then that led me to Lululemon to become an educator. And that led me to become a key leader and help manage the team. And then that led me to becoming a spin instructor. And then that led me to opening a spin studio and training spin instructors. Like, it's just so fascinating when I look back on like the flow of my life, and I never had a plan for any of it, literally any of it. And I sometimes forget that. And when I start to force things, I'm trying to control things now because I have a clearer view of like where I'm going. That's when I always face the most resistance. So it's just really fascinating because I do believe that's kind of where my journey was with this like surrendering. I don't think I even understood what that meant then, but I definitely understand it now. So I'll just share the main content of the book and then my takeaways from it, and then some of my favorite quotes, and then most importantly, how I'm applying this in my own life, and maybe that resonates with you. And I'll share with you some journal prompts that I used that can also help you if the information that I'm sharing resonates with you, or at least has you being curious. So essentially, the experiment begins with him deciding to let go of personal bias and preference and allow life's flow to guide his decisions. And this starts in a deep meditation that he had. His meditation opened him up to this place of inner peace that he always wanted to have access to. And so he became very dedicated to his meditation practice, which led him to opening it, like creating a temple and a community space and being a spiritual teacher. So his commitment to this experiment led him, like I said, to building a spiritual center, teaching a class that he had never intended on teaching, and then eventually founding a very successful software company in the late 80s, early 90s. Now, this wasn't all rainbows and butterflies. He faced a lot of challenges, including a legal battle, being a part of the internet boom, and then the internet crash. And throughout all of it, he surrendered to every situation rather than fighting it, which led to the most unbelievable outcomes and opportunity for growth. The way that he looked at the things happening just blew my mind. Like, because anybody else would just want to give up and just curl in a ball and hide. And he just opened up to it. The other thing that I thought was fascinating was how his experiment, the surrendering within his personal life and relationships, he gave so many examples of where letting go led to deeper connections and unexpected opportunities. And there were some different things that were presented to him that he was, his internal world was so frustrated and he was like, absolutely not. But then once he could get past that voice and was like, this is what life's presenting me, who am I to say that that's not supposed to happen this way? Oh my gosh. So fascinating what has come from that. And that is something that really has stuck out to me in my own life. So a lot of the insights and life lessons from the book is just what he's learned through the experiment and the power of releasing control and then the freedom that is found in the surrender. And this has been something that's just been kind of percolating inside of me because I have found it so fascinating of what areas am I not even aware of that I'm trying to control and how can I surrender to them. Now, I do want to touch upon before I move forward this idea of surrendering and letting go because they are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. They share similarities, but I think that they have a big distinction that sets them apart. So understanding this before we move forward is really important for personal growth and emotional regulation in all areas of our life. So surrendering is an active process of releasing control to a higher power, the universe, the flow of life itself. It involves acknowledging that we don't have to have all the answers and that trying to control every aspect of our lives is futile and it's often counterproductive and not to mention freaking exhausting. Surrendering is about trust and faith and patience. It's a process that is beyond our immediate understanding and control in the present moment. When you surrender, you have a deep acceptance of what is mixed with openness to the unfolding of life that might not always align with our expectations or our personal preference. So surrendering asks us to engage actively with our life and not trying to shape it, but by responding to it with openness and trust. So surrendering has a few key aspects. Number one, trust that there is a greater process and purpose, believing that there is a bigger process at work, which will guide to your eventual outcome. Now, this is a really hard thing, but this has changed my life. I will say that I do believe this and I practice it regularly, of knowing that even if I don't like what's happening, I know that there's a bigger purpose and I can trust without having any evidence of what that bigger outcome is going to be. Surrendering is also active engagement. While you are letting go and you're releasing grip on the steering wheel, you still take actions that are aligned with this level of trust. So you're responding to life's invitations with openness versus trying to control. So even though, you know, you think surrendering is like not taking action, you're still taking action. You're just in alignment with this place of trust and patience. And then the last aspect of surrendering is emotional openness. So allowing yourself to feel and experience everything that comes your way without resistance. This is the understanding of how this serves your growth and your evolution. So trusting that there's a greater purpose and process, being an active participant in the surrender, and then having emotional openness, knowing that being open to the experience is the whole purpose of the process. Now, let's talk about letting go, because letting go is often more about releasing specific thoughts, emotions, outcomes, and attachments that we hold on to. And we hold on to this as a form of safety. It's what's familiar. It's what we know. It's something that we can, that's predictable, something that we can guarantee. And when we can predict it, it feels safer, but it's false safety. It's not real safety. So it's a process that can be more focused and immediate, involving the decision to stop holding on to things that no longer serve us. It can be grudges, it can be past traumas, it can be anxieties, worries, or just unmet expectations and resentment. So letting go is a very important step to healing and moving forward, because you're freeing up the emotional capacity and the energy that was often used in maintaining and holding on to these attachments. So some of the aspects of letting go, number one is release attachments. So actively choosing to just stop clinging to specific ideas, feelings, or desires. Number two, healing and renewal. So this often follows a process of deep introspection and acknowledgement of pain or attachment, which then eventually leads to personal growth. And then the last aspect of letting go is personal decision, stemming from a conscious choice to release what harms us or hinders us, rather than this broader trust in life's flow. So you can tell that there's some similarities, but there is a very distinct difference. Surrendering is really like giving it up to the universe, and letting go is really this more internal experience of letting go of the things that were these stories, the beliefs, the things that we're really attached to. So surrendering is this broader trust of the flow of life and the willingness to engage with it without need for control. And letting go is more about releasing those specific attachments and emotions that block our growth. So this is really important, because they both matter when it comes to aligning your life, finding a career, finding a relationship, doing the things in your life that you want to create. And being able to integrate both concepts is really empowering. So think about this difference of like, what are the areas that you aren't surrendering in your life? And what are the areas that you want to let go of in your life? So I wanted to share that before we move forward, because now I want to share the main points from the experiment of surrendering that really resonated with me. So the first one is that power of surrender. So he demonstrates that surrendering to life's events rather than trying to control them can lead to unexpected paths and opportunities. This surrender is not about inaction, but it's about trusting and responding with openness. And just like I shared the way that I described surrendering, that is what this whole experiment was about for him. And it wasn't that it was easy. Like, he talked about the voice in his head. He talked about his personal preference. He talked about what he didn't like. But then his commitment to this experiment, his discipline, his devotion, I should say, was what got him out of that headspace that was like, who am I to say this? This is what life's presenting to me. Can I stay open to it? The next thing is living beyond our personal preference. This was one of the experiment's core principles in surrendering, living a life beyond one that is dictated by personal likes and dislikes. The thing is about our personal likes and dislikes is we look to the past to determine what we like or don't like in the present, which then dictates the future. But then we often end up repeating the past because we're going based off of the lens in which we know and what's familiar, which is a normal thing. But having this conscious shift of being like, okay, if I just drop my personal likes and dislikes and just open up to this opportunity that's in front of me, you will find that the experiences and the successes that come your way are often better than what you could have planned for yourself. And that's what happened in this book. The opportunities that he got and the connections that he made and the people that he met at the right time was all because of letting go of his personal likes and dislikes. The other main point is the role of meditation. And to me, it's really more just having a daily practice, and he was devoted to it. His meditation practice helped him observe his thoughts and emotions without attachment, which is the foundation of practicing surrender. So it's almost like to practice surrender, you have to be willing to let go of those thoughts and emotions and stories and preferences in order to surrender to the flow of life. And this was clear throughout the whole entire book. Even when he grew this huge temple with all these people living on his property, buying a huge piece of land, end up creating a software company, growing the business, buying land for the software company, all of this stuff, which I think any human being would naturally be distracted by the enormity of it, he still had his consistent daily practice. And him growing in this capacity expanded his spiritual practice as well. And so I think that that is one of the key things that really stood out about, like, in order to surrender, having a daily practice is crucial. The other thing that really stood out was viewing challenges as opportunities. This is something that I have done my whole entire life and have realized that that's just how my brain has always looked at things. I've always just kind of looked at things of like, okay, how is this an opportunity for me? How is this something that I can learn from? I honestly don't remember if anyone ever taught me this. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because of my optimistic attitude. I don't know. But I think that's why this book just resonated with me so much, is because he faced so many challenges, from building a temple to the legal battles, running a business, all things that he didn't plan for, that life just presented for him. And he kept saying life was in charge, that he wasn't in charge. He met every challenge with surrendering attitude, which transformed every obstacle into an opportunity for growth. And this is something that, you know, we talk about a lot in the personal development world, but it's really the practice of it. It's not easy. It is not easy to look at the world like, why is this happening? How is this happening for me? Our natural inkling is why me? Why me? Why me? And that is such a limiting mindset. It's a victim mindset. It keeps us stuck in this place that feels super helpless and super hopeless. And being able to look at things as an opportunity for growth is, I think, one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. And then the last main point was having inner peace no matter what is happening in the external world. This book illustrates that inner peace is attainable regardless of the external circumstance when someone surrenders to what life presents them. I mean, like I said, he wrote one of the best spiritual books I've ever read during a freaking legal battle with the government. Wrongfully accused, had the depth of what he was going through and his ability to write this book during that time just shows that it is possible to create that pocket of peace and know that you have access to it no matter what the external circumstance is. I mean, we know life is unpredictable. And as we get older, it becomes more and more unpredictable and there's more and more uncertainty. But if you recognize that within that uncertainty, you have access to this place of inner peace and calm, that's where you really have grown. That's where you can really grow the most. And it's not about being calm and being a Buddhist monk. That's not the goal. It's about being able to create this place of calm to create this place of resilience within your body, regardless of what's happening outside of you. And that's that inner flexibility that I talk a lot about on the podcast, and not being dictated by the external circumstances to control how we feel about ourselves and our life. And I do think that this is huge, because I tell this a lot to my clients. Like, when life happens and we resist what is, we suffer. It's not supposed to be this way. It wasn't supposed to happen. But because it is happening, when we accept that it's happening and we look at it, it's like, what am I going to learn from this? How am I going to grow from it? That puts you in such a powerful place to create that place of inner peace within yourself. So a couple of quotes that really stood out to me in the book that I just absolutely loved. The first one was, "The natural ups and downs of life can either generate personal growth or create personal fears. Which of these dominate is completely dependent on how you view change." So good. Because we can view change as scary, right? Or we can view change as an opportunity to grow. The other thing that really stood out was on life's flow. He said, "Instead of viewing the flow of life as something to be controlled and manipulated, I would relax and see it as something to be experienced and harmonized with." Just imagine if we all operated from that place. Instead of viewing it as like, I need to control this, like, what if we just viewed it as, how can I experience this? The other quote that really stood out, I read it over and over again, was about personal preference. And he said, "I saw that if I wanted life to be a certain way, my preferences were not going to make me happy. They were going to make me miserable." And that's because when we dictate by all of our personal preference, we dictate our choices, we end up stuck living the same life over and over again. And then the last two, this one's about facing challenges. "Life doesn't just randomly fall apart now and then. It falls apart exactly when it needs to in order to give us the opportunity to grow and evolve." And that one, just like the question of, how is this happening for me? Not just random. It happens for a very particular reason. Not the quote, "everything happens for a reason," not that. There's something internal that we need to go through and transform. And that's when we are presented these obstacles. And then the last one is about the journey of the surrender. "I had to be willing to let go of what I wanted and open to what was being presented." And that is the work right there. It's like, how can we let go of what we think we want and just be open to the possibilities that life wants to present us? So being able to practice, and I keep saying practice because it's not something that you just attain, it's something that you maintain. Being able to practice this can lead to personal growth, inner peace, and unexpected opportunities. And this story is a powerful testament of the transformative potential that surrender can have on someone's life. So now I want to share how I am applying this in my own life, because again, a big part of me sharing this book with you is my own integration. So the first one is doubling down on my daily practice. So I already have, you know, breath work and meditation, and I'm going to continue to do that even when I start feeling really good about it, because that's my pattern, is I stop when I feel really good. So you could see this similar pattern throughout my life, but this will help me cultivate the awareness and create that detachment from my thoughts and emotions and letting go of my stories. So then I can start observing more of life's events without immediate judgment or the need to control them. So I'm doubling down. I've already have a pretty consistent practice. Sometimes I do it just to do it. And I want to shift that and have my devotion to it. I want to be devoted to it no matter what, because this book really inspired me to have that devotion. And the devotion is a discipline and not in a limiting, controlling way. It's a way of remembering. It's a way of remembering why this is important to me and why I would benefit from this daily practice. And when we can remember, it keeps us on track to becoming the person that we want to become. So meditation. The other is embrace new opportunities while staying in alignment with my values. I'm not going to say yes to everything because I am very selective of how I spend my time. But sometimes I say no without really checking in with what's in front of me. I used to say yes to everything and then that burnt me out. So I believe that there is a happy middle. I think that it's being more in alignment with my values, but also being open to what comes up and is presented. So this could be as simple as creating a new project, joining a community service, or even just exploring a new hobby. The other way I want to implement this in my daily life is daily mindfulness activities. So that means doing things without any extra noise. Sometimes I get ready and listen to a podcast. I try to do things to squeeze as much time out of my day, but I don't need to do that. I can just be in the present moment and be engaged in the activity that I'm doing. That means when I'm playing with my daughter, that my phone is in a different room. That means that I am spending time intentionally being mindful about the activities that I'm doing. So whether that's eating, walking, or talking to someone, I just want the presence to help me become more aware of life's flow and how I am responding to it. The other way that I want to apply this in my life is letting go of resistance. So when I encounter situations that trigger any sort of resistance or discomfort, I'm going to pause and take a moment to explore what's behind these feelings. I'm going to ask myself whether resisting or trying to change the situation is serving me, or if there might be an opportunity for growth in surrendering to it. And I think that this is really where a lot of my work is right here in this piece of the resistance, because I've been noticing a lot of resistance in my life lately. And then the last thing that I continue to do, and I'm going to continue to integrate, is challenges. I'm going to continue to view challenges as growth opportunities. I'm going to ask instead of asking myself, why is this happening to me? I'm going to always ask myself, what can I learn from this? Why is this for me? So that's how I'm integrating this into my own life. Take what you want from it. Feel free to ask me any questions about how I'm applying this into my life. If you want some more tactical stuff, I will share that with you. But now I want to give you some journal questions for reflection and see how you can apply this in your own life if this episode resonated with you. Number one, what areas of your life are you trying to control the most? And then what fears are driving this need for control? Okay. The next question. Try to recall a time when something didn't go as planned, but turned out better than expected. What did this teach you about the outcomes of surrendering? I loved this question. I came up with so many answers, like so many answers. And then I also want you to consider what surrender means to you and how it differs from giving up. Okay, like what does that mean? You know, I talked about my definition, but what does it mean to you? And how is this different than giving up on something? And then the last question, or two more questions. Number one, what are your thoughts on, like, what do you think about the idea of challenges as growth opportunities? Like truly, like, what are your thoughts about it? Do you like that? Or does that feel very, do you feel resistant to it? And if you feel resistant, can you identify a current challenge in your life? And can you look at it from the perspective of how this could be a potential growth opportunity for you? And then the last question is, how can you incorporate the practice of surrender in your daily life? Are there any specific rituals or reminders that you can set for yourself? You know, the way that this book is laid out, it wasn't just a snap of the finger. There were so many different things that he had to go through in order to get to this place where he just automatically surrendered to the flow of life. It's not a natural thing that we do. We naturally want to control things so we can have a guaranteed outcome. But just see if there's little areas in your life where you would be willing to let go and make that shift. Okay, That's what I have for you today, my friend. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for listening to my reflection on the surrender experiment. If you have any questions about the book, if you read the book, I'd love to know your thoughts. I'd love to know your thoughts about surrendering, your experience with surrendering, your challenges with it. I want to hear it all. So please share with me, send me an email, send me a message on Instagram. Tell me if you like this format. Tell me if you want for me to read a specific book and share it in my future episodes. I want to hear it all. All right, my friend, that's what I have for you today. Remember to surrender, love yourself, own your happiness, and let your light shine, because you're so worthy of it, my friend. Until next time.